How was the lunch yesterday?
Great.
Good. Okay. And when's the next event? What are we having again? We're having a dinner. We're having something. Another lunch?
You don't know.
You guys eat a lot. A lot of eating going on here. Okay.
Maybe they close the cafeteria.
What?
We close the cafeteria. Now.
That's it. So what do you guys eat now?
I guess at the start. I don't know. Grandma's.
Go on, it's still going strong. Okay, it's always shawarma. All right. So we began yesterday the sugya of Hakufi Rabo Beregel. He pointed out there was a very, very fascinating mocha for this din. And we pointed out that the Rama who placed this din, Hilchas Tamat Torah, is clearly indicating to us that this is a din in Hilchas Kavod HaRav, it's not really a din Hilchos Yontif. I think we made the observation yesterday, but at the very end of the shir made the observation, that's why women are chayavos. Did we mention that? We didn't even mention that. Okay, that was what I was about to mention. Okay, we mentioned it now. L'chora, this chakir that we mentioned yesterday, whether the nature of this halacha is a Yontif tikadin, or whether it's a Kavod HaRav tikadin, and we got arrived from the placement of the Rav of Menuchos Tamat Torah, but the din of Kavod HaRav. That should shed some light on the fundamental question, are women actually obligated in this mitzvah now? The push-up shot is, of course they're obligated, because after all, what was the whole source? The whole source was from Isha Shunabis, right? Did we talk about this yesterday? No? Okay, great. So, obviously women are chayavos in this mitzvah. Unless one wants to be doiche, one wants to, you know, deflect that raya by saying, aliyaylam, women of turos. The Isha Shunamis would volunteer to do this mitzvah, not all that different than women who volunteered to shake a lulav and sit in the sukkah. So for the fact that the Isha Shunamis says, I'm going to see Elisha, and the husband says, what are you doing? It's not Chodesh, it's not Shabbos, it's not Yom Tov today. So it sounds like if it would have been Yom Tov, it would have been understandable. Not that she was actually obligating the mitzvah, she was volunteering the mitzvah. So it's not crystal clear for the Gemara whether women are obligated or not. So what do you think the din should be? If I had asked you to plug in your great knowledge of mitzvah sheshman grama that we spoke about so many times in the last few weeks, I would say as follows. Sure. That if it's a chiv of yontif, so then the basic starting point is women of turos from mitzvahs and yontif. Now again, some of them they're going to be chayavos in. Maybe kiddush yisham of v'zochar, maybe sudas mat, you know, all the things. So, you know, we can make a chulin to tell you that this reason, that reason, the other reason, why women are chayavos. But again, the starting point, the baseline is that women are actually p'turos from mitzvah yisham v'zochar. But if you hold it, there's nothing to do with yontif. It's a din of kavod harav. Why do we do it on yontif? Because that's where we're on vacation with some free time. But it's fundamentally a mitzvah that's noheges 24/7, 365 days a year. It expresses itself in a unique way on yontif. I have to be mechayav my rebbe all year long. Otherwise, on yontif, that dimension of visiting my rebbe becomes the expression of the general kolistik mitzvah of mechayav b'nei harav. That's not his bank rama. Women are also obligated in that. So the chora, from the mere fact that the simple pshat is that women are chayav in this mitzvah, that also highlights the theme of the Rambam. That seems to express this theme of the Rambam, that this is really more of a din of kavod harav than it is a din of of kavod haregel. L'chora shechapen achimim l'dina, whether it's kavod harav, whether it's kavod haregel. We got to be the following. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, harav shemachlo kavodei kavodei mochel. That a Rebbe can be moichel on his cover. Let's say I want to go help my Rebbe do his grandiose, you know, cover to my Rebbe. The Rebbe, listen, do me a favor. Go to sleep. Do me a favor. Go sit and learn. Go take care of something else. Don't bother being mechaber me. So the din is, the Rebbe can be moichel on his cover. It's not going to be chiddush that the Rebbe can be moichel on his cover. It's actually machlokes in the Gemara. One day the Gemara says he can't be moichel. What's the issue? Why would one think that the Rebbe can or cannot be moichel on his cover?
His Torah's not his.
Oh, so the Chorah, the idea of being Meichel and Kavod is a very, very modern idea. Mechila makes sense. Let's say, Lamoshel, I break your window. So I owe you $1,000 for a broken window. So you're the Bailam on that window. You're the Bailam on that obligation. You have the Koyach to be Meichel on something that belongs to you. But you ain't Cain, Kavod. The Kavod that's due to you is not really due to you. You're not the owner on the Kavod. The Chorah, Kavod HaRav, is really an expression of Kavod HaWat. Kavod HaTorah. You happen to be that human being who learned Torah, but really they're not expressing Kavod to you. I'm really expressing Kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and you're not the Bible of that Torah. So that's why one day the Gemara says, Taka, Rav Shabachal Kvad Eifa de Mochel. Taka, don't have the Koyach to be Mochel. So why do we disagree? So the Gemara has a very, very strange idea. The Gemara says that Madiyomad, where we paskin, that a Rebbe can be Mochel and is covered, is because Terosu Dileihu, that the Torah is considered to be his. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ki Beseres Hashem Chatzo, Beserosu Yege Yom Balayla. That a person is involved in the study of his Torah. Whose Torah? His Torah, his own personal Torah. The Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah that when a person begins learning, so you can't like start, you know, a guy opens up, comes into yeshiva the first day, he reads the first line of the Mishnah, and he says, oh, yeshlach korach hakira, yeshtikot Torah, kashet Torah. The Gemara says, that's silly if you do that. You have to first get the facts. First you have to learn a little bit. After you learn a little bit, then you can start to be tofel and faltel, you know, give hakiras and then start to figure out what in the world the deeper meaning is. That's what they say. The Pesuk says, Ki b'seres Hashem chefzai. First you have to learn Teres Hashem. You got to first figure out what's there on the page. And afterwards, if Seres again, you're allowed. If you already know the facts, then you can begin to be mefalpo, you begin to be done in the details. But if you're going to go backwards, you're being done in your own Torah. Before you do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, you're going to end up backwards. So, the Gemara says that we pass in Allah, Rav Shemach HaMedik V'Nemachum. For that strange reason, it's considered to be somehow an expression of covenant due to him. He's somehow the Bailam on his Torah, whatever that means. So can a Rebbe be Moichel on the Talmud's trip? So the Talmud calls up the Rebbe, Cholomoyd, morning, says, Rebbe, I'm coming over to visit. And the Rebbe says, listen, don't do me any favors. My grandchildren are coming. I don't mean bother me. My wife doesn't want you to come. And the Rebbe doesn't say, do me a favor, stay home. But the Talmud says, no, but Rebbe, Ashtaitin, Masech HaSubbat, Abchavav, Chayav Al-Hakmini, Rabbi Regal. So does the Rebbe have the Koyach to be Moichel? So if you hold that it's out covered, Hayomtif, the Rebbe's at the bottom. Imagine, I'm about to shake lulav, and my Rebbe says to me, no, I'm Meichel, don't shake the lulav. No, do this Meichel, my lulav, I'm not doing anything. The Rebbe's not the Bailam on the mitzvah lulav. So behold, the Rebbe's not the Bailam on the mitzvah of, on this mitzvah, l'achav hei rabbi, because it's a yontif tik obligation, so it can't be Meichel. But if you hold, and it's basically due to him, and it's basically part of the din of covenant rab, so then l'chav the Rebbe could be Meichel. So again, this seems to be borne out by the Rambam. As we said, we have two good rayas that this is probably more of a covered Arab tikkadin than a covered Arab tikkadin. Number one, from the placing of the Rambam in this halacha of Chastam Torah. And number two, from the fact that the Pashat Dvarim is women are chayavos. Again, unless you want to be doicha that women are not really chayavos, just volunteer. But the simple meaning of the Gemara is the whole source is from the woman, from the Isha Shunamis. The Chayyid is another nafkirina, another very, very potentially important nafkirina ladina b'zman hazeh. And that's a Tshuva the Nedv Yehuda. Some of you will ask me for some more Maamar Kavim today, so some of you may have even seen that Tshuva the Nedv Yehuda. The Yehuda is a gewaldig chiddush. The Yehuda says this entire sugi that we're learning is not relevant b'zman hazeh. It only exists b'zman shebeis mikdash erkayim. The only chayav to visit your Rebbe, like the days of Elisha, the days of Elil HaRegel, then you're mechuyav to go visit your Rebbe. Otherwise, you're not. I'm talking about visiting my Rebbe. So I'm going to visit my Rebbe in Tidek. What does that do with the Beis HaMikdash? What's going on? So the Yehuda makes reference to a sugya in Maseches Kedushin on Daf Lamed Gimel, where the Gemara is talking about the obligation of standing up for a Rebbe. There's a requirement, the Torah requirement. You have to stand up for a Talmid Chacham. The Beis Seva Tocham, the Dr. Beis Zokin, the Shem Lekechti, whatever the Mekairus or that Dinar. As a mitzvah in a Torah, you have to stand up for Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin that you have to stand up for Sefer Torah also. Why? Because I kava chaymer. If madach, you have to stand up for the person who learned the dinim in the Sefer Torah, kava chaymer for the Sefer Torah itself. So kava chaymer is a midah shatara dreshes. That's a dinim in a Torah. So there's a chiyuv gomim in a Torah to stand up for Sefer Torah. Even though it doesn't say name in the Chumash, stand up for Sefer Torah, but it says you have to stand up for Zokin, for Misha Chana Chochma, so Kavachemah for the Chochma itself, the Torah itself. Fine. So there's a requirement you have to stand up for a Talmud Chochma. So the Gemara has a statement in the 5th and Rambam Kaimus, Ain't Talmud Chochma Rosh Elam Bnei Rabbi El Shachas V'Yarvis, Veshelo Yekvei Demru Mechveit Shemayim, that a Talmud is not permitted. We shouldn't point out that Rashoi, Ain't Talmud Rashoi, I mean, you're not supposed to. You're not allowed to get up for the Rebbe more than twice a day. Why? Well, I'll get up for the Rebbe 15 times a day. No. You only get up for a Kodesh Baruch Hu twice a day. You come to shul in the morning, come to shul at night, whether you're coming from Ma'arif also, whether you're not coming from Ma'arif together, 7 o'clock, 4, 7, 4 o'clock, whatever you Mostly we associate, you come to the Kodesh Baruch Hu Erev HaBoker, as you come to the Baruch Hu twice a day. Comes to the Gemara and says, if you can get up to your Rebbe every 10 minutes, so you're showing more kavod to the Rebbe than you want to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's not right. That's inappropriate. The kavod that's due to a Rebbe is very, very important. The kavod to Tavachah is very, very important. But it pales to Kodesh Shemayim. So if a person is mechabed the Rebbe above and beyond Kodesh Shemayim, that's incorrect.
Is this like a general kavod, just Rebbeim in general? Like they're all... Because is it saying like if you stand up twice for Talmud Chacham, is that for all Talmud Chacham, or it has to be for a specific Rebbe that you don't have to stand up twice?
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit in a moment about the different dinim of kavod due to a Rebbe, in contrast to a regular Talmud Chacham. Here the Gemara uses the term Talmud Chacham, but it's probably going across the lines. The Gemara says that let's say there are other people around and nobody realizes that you got up in the morning, so then you can get up for the Rebbe. That's something. But that's what we usually do. Usually we're not so super duper machmir and getting up for the Rebbe today. Rebbe walks past in Spanish, gives a little yeshivish, a little lazy, take the half the feet off the floor or something kind of a thing. So that's okay. But the standard attention every single time, everybody knows you got up ready in the morning, but you get it 400 times before. That's not right. And in Russia. So says the Rebbe, what do you see from this Gemara? That whenever we're pasking a shayla in kvayt habei chachamim, we have to be very, very careful not to go overboard. You know, we're walking a tightrope, a fine line in the din of kvayt habei chachamim. Because on the one hand, we want to be mechabit to chachamim, the Rebbe wants us. So on the other hand, we don't want to do it at the expense of kvayt shemayim. So we have to walk that balance, and therefore, twice here, a bit more than that, no. So says the Rebbe Yehuda, in the good old days, when there was Aliyah Regel, the base of Mikdash, so a person went to go visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu every yom, the Shalosh Panim Rishonim, you got to go visit the Rebbeinu Shalom. So a guy is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, do Aliyah L'Regel, bring his Karbanos, and then the next day he'll go visit his Rebbe. So that's okay, that's not a bizoyin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu today, and I go to the Rebbe tomorrow, I go to Six Flags the next day, and I go to the Intrepid the following day, and try. And then dress my days of Chol Moed. So okay, I understand this perfectly legitimate, but Zokti Nei Yehuda Bizman Hazeh, you're not going to Lila Regal. Why? There's no Lila Regal. There's no mitzvah of Lila Regal. There's no Bisa Mikdash. The Rishonim Acharonim have a tremendous, tremendous chiddush that maybe there's a shtickle mitzvah of Lila Regal we can fulfill Bisman and say, how we can't go into the Azara today, but how can we possibly fulfill Lila Regal? So the Gemara Beginim says, Chagiga comments from the Pasuk, Shalosh Brahm, Shalosh Yerah Kol Zuchurcha, that the word Yerah, though it's pronounced Yerah, really has a shtickle double meaning. It's the same letters Yerah and Yireh. Yira means to see, and Yira means to be seen. So if the Baal Koyi would say, Shalosh, Bamim, Mashana, Yira, Kol Zechorcha, correct me, it's not. The correct halach pronunciation is Yira, Kol Zechorcha, but there is a deeper meaning of Yira, Yira. And the Gemara learns out dinner from this, that there's a dual Re'iyah taking place in Aliyah L'Regel. You see a Kadosh Baruch Hu Yachol, and you go to the base to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees you at the same time. So we no longer have the ability to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we have to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Azor. I'm sitting in the middle of Tel Aviv, that's not called Yerah Kol Zechorcha Bnei Hashem L'Kecha. So the Re'iyah has to happen in the Makom Azor, the Makom Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we cannot be there, because we're all Tamei, we don't be Sabidish, we're not going to bring a Kabbalah anyway, we're all Tamei Mei, so we can't go into the Azor. But just because we can't fulfill half the mitzvah doesn't mean we can't fulfill the other half the mitzvah. Maybe there's a mitzvah to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bizman Hazeh, how you do that? So the mitzvah riyas part of the Azara has to be Azara. So maybe if I look at the Azara, if I could stand, position myself, I'll stand at the top of the Yeshiva Kotel, or at the top of the Rova somewhere, and I'll look down, I'll see, this is the Karak Azara, this is the Ritzvah Azara. So I'm fulfilling the half of the mitzvah deraisa of Yira, not the Yira part. We don't want to support the Pashtun, but there's still a mitzvah of Yira as Hashem Yisbarach on the Shal Shogolim. So some of them have that interesting Chumr, interesting Chiddush, that whenever you have to be Yerushalayim, Yishol Shogolim, you should go climb up to the top of the Eish roof or something, or go on top of Yishol Kol, go somewhere, and look down at the Ritzvah Sazara, Hinnu B'chum L'Kai, Mitzvah Seishel, Yiras Pedeshim L'Kecha. Another Chorim said, Lo Hoyu Dvar Me'aylam, ah, come on, I've heard of such a thing. He said, the Mitzvah is Yirah, the Mitzvah is a dual part. If you can't do the Mitzvah Kishle Musa, that's nonsense, just to go look at the Rebbe, go look at the Azor, Heichem Atzid is a Mitzvah, go see the Azor. That's a shaila b'zman hazeh. Anyone ever did this mitzvah? Anyone ever machmer on this? They told you in yeshiva.
People say lulav, but
that's a different story. Lulav is a whole different story. That's because some Rishonim said, the Ram says that's called the mikdash. Anyone ever was machmer? Your Rebbe told you to do this?
No, my Rebbe didn't tell me to do this. I taught, so I was machmer.
What? Just want to say Ruth and the regalim.
Just, you know, stop.
Yeah,
okay.
Stop.
Okay. Did you have in mind the Shem Nitzvah or the Shem
Yichud?
Okay. All right. No. So on Shavuos, so you have a whole week to do this after Shavuos because there's Tashlumin. The Gemara says that if you didn't bring your Kabbalah, you didn't do Aliyah Regal on the first day of Shavuos, you have a whole week to complete it. That's why some shuls have a minute that they don't say Tachlum the whole week, because so the whole week after Shavuos was considered to be a Shichlus Ban Simcha, was Ban Shavuos to Shakayim. And the other minhagim say, well, we're not Bizman HaMikdash, but Bizman HaZeh, Bizman HaZeh is not Tashlumin. So the days after Ishuchag is one thing, after that the game's over. So the two different minhagim in Klai Yisrael. I was once in the Ramah Shul. I was davening in Krakow, and checked the weather in June in Krakow. I was davening in Krakow, and it was about 3-4 days after Shavuos, and we were davening Mincha, and so it was my Irish, should we say Tachlun or not? So I thought that the right thing to do is, in deference to the Ramah, maybe we should see, what did the Ramah do here? What was the Ramah's minute? So I didn't remember what the Ramah's minute was, so they have the minute of Mishaburah on the shelf. The Obra Mishaburah Chalik Bey said, the Ramah writes that the minute is not to say Tachlun on Ishuchad Mishaburah. So the implication of the Ramah is, Ishuchad you don't say, but afterward, the minute of the Ramah, the minute Krach, what you said? So I told all the people that I'm Micha there, I said, we should say that we're in the Ramah Shul. So whatever we did it back in Tidek and Bergenfield in the Five Towns, we should right now, we're in the Ramah Shul, we should do what the minute of the Ramah was. So believe it or not, somebody argued with me on that. People are so tzehits, not say Tachlin, no, that. Said, no, we're not bound by the Ramah's Minhagim. You're diving in the man's shul. No, the Minhagim and Ramah, the Minhagim of a shul only apply close by there's an ongoing minion in that shul. After the war, the Nazis invaded the Poland, they destroyed their craft, but the top of the shul wasn't destroyed. There was no minion there. So for years and years, there was no minion. Then Poland was under communists. 70, 80 years, nobody davened mincha there. Now, a few years ago, so the Iron Curtain fell and the communists disappeared, and then Poland became a free nation. And now they're running tours and having all the Shiva Racham coming and making a killing off of everybody coming to do all their Poland tours. So the Minhagi HaRamah, when it's bottled for 70, 80 years, and now we start them over again. So now we start whatever the minig is. So what's the minig in Krakow today? I don't know what the minig is. So here we had 20 guys, and they said, our minig is that we don't say Tachrun, so therefore we're not going to say Tachrun. I thought that was a joke. I thought that was humorous. I said, I don't know, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right that the Minhagi HaRamah not knowing anymore. Like, come on, give me a break. I mean, you know, you're in the Ramah Shul, at least, you know, the Ramah, do it the Ramah. The Ramah said it. That was very strange. Anyway, what people won't do just to get out of a Tachlun. So they'll turn the world up to
Tachlun would have been over by then.
It takes less time to fight about the Tachlun than to say Tachlun. It wasn't even a Monday of Hurachim. It was a Meh by Yemen, Dorah, by Mincha. No. Okay, whatever it is. Everyone should be well. Okay, good. I was once flying back from Eretz Yisrael, and it was a Motzei Shabbos flight, and about 2 hours into the flight, the pilot gets onto the loudspeaker and announces that nobody should get nervous. Whenever you hear those words from a pilot, you already know it's a good reason to get nervous, not saying to him. Nobody should get nervous, we're having some trouble with one of the engines. Okay. So, but that's the bad news. The good news is that the other engines are working, and the plane's still safe to fly, but standard protocol is you don't cross over the Atlantic Ocean with missing an engine. So he said, we have to make an emergency landing in Europe and we'll get the engine fixed and we'll get you onto your trip to continue. So it was 2 hours after we left there. So it was right around flying over Italy. So it was an emergency landing in the sense if it wasn't a scheduled landing. It wasn't like emergency, you know, with people sliding down the slides or something. It wasn't exactly... that imagery of that no one would even know what to do with even after seeing the videos 4,000 times. So the mice says they made an unexpected landing in Rome, and we got off the plane, and they announced to us that now that we're in Rome, like the Romans, it was Sunday morning, and not too many plane mechanics are working. Everyone's in church on Sunday morning in Rome, so nobody's going to fix this plane now. So we got to wait for another plane to come from who knows, from the North Pole till the next plane comes to relieve us. So get used to enjoy the Rome airport for the next 10 hours. So the first thing I do is Daven Shacharis. We're talking about Daven Shacharis in Rome. So it was a bunch of YU guys. It was a bunch of see, the regular crew of, fly back when it's Rome, so Shabbos flight. So we got the Tachanun, and one of the Hasidim announces, we don't say Tachanun here. The meeting in Rome, we don't say Tachanun. He said, there's no Sefer Torah. No Sefer Torah, there's no Tachanun. That's not what it says. The Rambam writes that when there's no Sefer Torah, so the meaning is you don't fall Tachman. Even that, not everybody used to. You don't fall on your hands. But Lamaisi, you say the words of Tachman. So when we daven chiyuv in Yishirim, usually, you know, during the year, we say Tachman without falling in the Tefillas Atayim. So this chassid said, no, we don't say no Tachman whatsoever. So one of the YU guys at the time said, no, what do you mean there's no Sefer Torah? I have a Sefer Torah with me. He opens up his knapsack. He's got a Sefer Torah. No, just a cloth, no Yitzchan. Walking around carrying his Sefer Torah. There was a Sephardi shul that in America who had asked him to bring back a Sefer Torah. It was the cloth, the whole Sefer Torah, to schlep back from Eretz Yisrael. So it was a fairly small Sefer Torah. So he put it up into his knapsack. So he had the Sefer Torah with him. So the chassid was blown away. He said, that's what we're doing. It was a very moving event because I remember that particular shacharis. So as we were starting to daven, so all of a sudden, a bunch of Roman security officers and policemen, you know, and soldiers was guarding the Rome airport. So they made a circle around us. So we started to get nervous about what we're doing against the law. So they said, no, everything's fine. You're allowed to daven. He said, but it's Europe. Not everyone loves Jews. So we just want to protect you. Make sure nobody starts up with you. So they made mamshim circled around us to protect us, and we should daven. So I spoke about this many times over the years on Tisha B'Av. He said that, 2,000 years ago, the Roman soldiers destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So now the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we got the karma back from them. Now their great-great-great-great-grandsons are sitting and watching us, protecting us. We could have a thousand souls in Rome. So I said, Kadosh Baruch Hu settles the score. Anyway, back to the story. So what we talk about, I have no idea. Where do we talk about? Oh, Tashlumin, yeah, that's what we got sidetracked. Okay. So Yura. I remember my son told me that he was in Eretz Yisrael a couple of years ago, he was learning, and one of the Bachim was saying, oh, it was a minute, Gachumra, you gotta go to stand on top of Aish and go look at the Macham Azara on the week after Shavuot. So you don't have to go on Yom Tov itself, you can do it to Tashlumin. So he went third, fourth day after whatever it was, the week after Shavuot, so he ran to the top of Aish. As he's coming down and leaving, so Rav Chaim Kanievsky is walking in. He said, why? Unless he follows his chumrah, that he comes and goes to visit Yerushalayim the week after. Usually to come to Yerushalayim, Cholamoy Pes, Cholamoy Tzukas, he would go up to the top of Eish, wherever it was, and go look at the Azara. And Shavuos, he's not going to come from Dei Brach and Yom Tov, so he would come one day. So my son, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, followed the same chumrah. They passed, they crossed paths on the Eish parking lot. Anyway, back to the Eish Shalapi. Okay, back to our story. So, says in the Yudah, Bizman Hazeh, there's no Lila Rego for Oprachover. The guy's living in Prague, he's not going to look at the Azor, there is no mitzvah. So, the bottom line is, says in the Yudah, for such a person to go visit his Rebbe, Bizman Hazeh is a Pchisekov at the Kveit Shemayim. Because, remember, the Gemara says in Kedushin, you're not allowed to be Mechavid your Rebbe more than you're Mechavid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Bizman HaMikdash, when you went to visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it makes sense to visit the Rebbe. Bizman Hazeh, when you're not visiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway, because there's no Lila Rego, to go visit the Rebbe, that's a bizoyim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the whole mitzvah doesn't apply to Bizman Hazeh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu from there did it. So should we accept this Ben Yehuda? What do you think this Ben Yehuda depends upon? What's the lumbus of the Ben Yehuda?
It's from the Irish
Shach
or something.
What? Yeah, it's based on the Irish Shach, remember what I'm saying, but what's the lumbus? What's he assuming about the mitzvah of the Rabbi? Yeah, he's assuming like the Rambam. He's assuming like the Pashas that they didn't have covered a Rav. Because this Gemara in Kedushin that you're not allowed to be Mechavad Rabbi, that means dinim that are instituted out of Kavod HaRav, you have to be careful not to overdo, not to go overboard with Kavod HaRav, over and above, beyond the Kavod HaShechina. But if you hold the other side, the Chakir, not like the Rambam, you hold the side that it's a din of Kavod HaRegel, so make the following judgment. It comes time to shake a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, so I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because it's a bizoyin for me to shake a lulav. I'm not going to leal a regel. How can I shake a lulav? It comes the first time Pesach, I'm not going to eat matzah. Why? I'm not going to go Lila Rego tomorrow, I'm not going to eat matzah. My joke is that. So this din that you don't do certain mitzvahs because you can't be Mechavad Kodesh Baruch Hu, that means you don't do the Kovadik mitzvahs. The mitzvahs that are Kveid Bas of Adam, to go ahead and be Mechavad, a human being, a Rebbe, as great as he is, but he's still Bas of Adam, he's not the Menesh Shalom. So to be Mechavad, a human being, above and beyond the Kovad that's being expressed at Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's inappropriate. I don't do mitzvahs because I can't do alila regel. What kind of nonsense is that? He said, whatever mitzvahs I do, I do. Whatever mitzvahs I can't do, I can't do. What kind of defeatist attitude is that? I can't do all the mitzvahs, so I don't do any of the mitzvahs. That's ridiculous. That's the Yetzer Hara speaking. So therefore, the Ne'emid Ishtichot Torah is only as true as the Rambam is. Do we really follow this Rambam? Well, we're 100% sure. We're not sure. So the minhag of them today is to try to visit the Rebbe if they can. The Rebbe's mostly is Michael, but we try. It's probably the best. They try to be visit a Rebbe if able to. Shavuos is a hard mitzvah to do. Most people don't have free access to the Rebbe on Shavuos, but Chol Moed Pesach, Chol Moed Sukkah, so it's not a bad idea. But you try to get into the habit if they can to visit the Rebbe.
But according to the Tzad Kol Rav, we said that the mitzvah would apply throughout the entire year, and it's just happens to be you do it on the regular because you're off.
No, but Chazal would convey that is the right time because that's the time when you're free, the Rebbe is free, and you go pest the Rebbe in the middle of the year. It's the same shul, so now he's got all the time in the world, so now Chol HaMoed.
Would somebody be able to the Rebbe is giving a shiur someplace, yeah. Go listen, would that be
Mekav? Stom, he's got to go say hello to him. Gotta go be mechavid him. Gotta go give him shalom aleichem.
So you then you see him on Yantav and you say go over and say hello. Is that be good enough? You don't have to go back to the house if you see him on
Yantav. Yeah. Most of the Balabatim don't come and knock on my door every day. There used to be one guy in my shul. He used to always come to visit me. He lived in the shul. Came to shul every day, but he doesn't anymore. He used to be makpit to come one night of a Yantav when I Chol HaMoed to be makpit pray rabbi. Even I just saw him in the He wanted to come. Okay, good. Wants to come.
It's getting cold. Then would a phone call be?
Yeah, it's a shiloh. Would a phone call be good enough? A Zoom call. So during COVID, we had no choice. I had to call my rebbe. I couldn't even go visit them. So now go visit your rebbe. So just to suffice for the phone call. If you stop, if you're lazy brain, it's better than nothing. The stomach. Remember, I used to go visit Rabbi Willig on. Chol HaMoed. So this past Pesach, so he came to the last days of Yom Tov. He came to one of his kids living in our community now. So he came to the last days. So I think, great, so I'll be mocked. We'll pay Rabbi Hit. Saves money over the bridge. Let's get the gas these days. I got a mortgage to go across the bridge now with the gas. So he came to us. So I went to mock my Rabbi. So he was coming to speak in Ashur to Mincha Meir on the last night, on the Achron Shapesach, Friday night. He's going to come to give a shiur. So he came from Mincha. So when he came from Mincha, I said, oh, Yom HaShem look at Yantav, you know. So that was my Makal Rabbi. I was happy to get him before Shkia. Otherwise, it's a shah, it's fake of the Yom. It's the last day of Yantav. Maybe you can't be Yantav in the midst of Makal Rabbi. So I got him 2 minutes before Shkia. Okay, good. Back to the story. But there's really a fundamental question here as to who exactly is a Rebbe for these purposes. What do the words Rebbe mean? We know the term Rebbe means different things in different places. The Mishnah says to Pirkei Avos, that if you learn one thing from one letter, from a person, he's your Rebbe, Kara, Lufo, Rabbi, you know. Every time I learn something from anybody, all you guys have taught me something. Talmidei Yes Mikumam, Yes the good Kashi, gave a good Taz, gave a Shekel Torah. So I gotta go running around every whole day Shavuos, running to visit everybody. So I said, the stomach, that's not the din. So who constitutes a Rebbe for these purposes? So there is a Taisus in the fourth prayer, in the fourth of Mamre Kremes, the Taisus of Baba Kama, commenting on the famous Gemara Baba Kama. It's the Gemara Pesach and Baba Kama. A few places, the same Gemara appears, where the Gemara quotes one of the Tanoim, Shimon Hamsuni, or some say his name, Nechemi Hamsuni, not clear what his name was, who he used to daish and call Esen Shibatai. Whenever he got the Bereshit book, Esen Shuraim, S comes to include something. Every time it says the word S, it meant something, some kind of a rebuy. He got this, a shemo kechatira, he was in a pickle, because when you marvel something from S, it sounds like you're equating it to the original source. S, shemo kechatira, what are you going to be marvel? What's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's idolatry to say that. There's something else out there that deserves that yira, a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can't say such a thing. So Shimon HaMsuni realized that his whole drushes were off. So not only was that last drusha off, he said all the drushes were off. It's the Kasha and the Yatashi. He's been saying shit for 20 years. He's been saying his Ashirim about the Eskom of Abbas. This Eskom of Abbas. He had notebooks and Shtikot Torahs, painted books of Svarim of that learned off of Essen, and he realized that it was wrong. So he stopped. So his Talmidim said to the Rebbe, what about all the last 20 years of learning? So he said, Kishem Shikibati Schala Drishka Schala Prisha. He said, all those years that I was learning, I was saying those drushes. So I thought it was MS. So that was Talmud Torah. When you're involved in the midst of Talmud Torah, you don't always say the right shot. Sometimes you can spend 3 hours on a Taisim, and those at the end, they learned the wrong shot. So that was Bittul Torah? Oh, it's not Bittul Torah. So the midst of Talmud Torah is to be involved in the act of Lima. The Lima, by definition, means you try, you stop, you start, you say a wrong shot, you say a right shot, you correct yourself, you go back. Yeah. That is the act of Lima. Torah says, Lamanat Tamasam. So Lima means, by definition, it's trial and error. So you try your best. If you stop wasting your time and you're just sitting around saying silly things and you know they're silly and you're not really trying to understand, that's not Talmud Torah, that's Biddur Torah. But if you try your hardest to try to say the right pshat and you just said the wrong pshat of Torah, come to share and realize you misread the Torah, that's the klap al chet of Biddur Torah. That is the mitzvah. That's good for part of the chet, because mitzvah Talmud Torah. You stop, etc. So Rabbi Akiva, when he heard this story that Shimon HaMsuni, Chaim HaMsuni stopped all the drush to ask him, he said, no, he stopped too soon. There is something you can derive from Shimon HaKechativa. What is that? Rabbas Tamini Chacham. So the Bali Musar explained that Rabbi Akiva said his drush, he was so inspired by the words of Shimon HaMsuni, that here Shimon HaMsuni is willing to close up shop in his entire style of learning for 20 years because of the Midas HaEmes. So when Rabbi Akiva saw it, that Tamin Chacham, such a Tamin Chacham, I love Nemar, Shimon HaKechativa, such an Isha HaEmes, he's emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Bala Musa say, Taich of the Gemara. But that's not the Pasha Pshat. The Pasha Pshat of the Gemara is, Rabbi Akiva Me'atzma, he said, that Esa Shalom Gagatim comes to Rabbas Tamid Chacham. So Taisus has a fascinating insight on this Gemara. You know, usually when you read this Gemara, so most of us read this Gemara like to the Chassidish eyes. That means, you know, we're very inspired, it's very, you know, beautiful, you know, holy Yid, and Chaim HaMsuni is such a holy person, Rabbi Akiva is such a holy person, everyone's holy and Kaddish, and Gevaldik, and we're inspired, and Elmas Al Yainim, and Tzadikim, and Chassidim, and everyone tants and everything, Gevaldik. But a real hardcore misnagger looks at this Gemara and says, wait a second, I don't understand this Gemara. What does Rabbi Akiva mean? Es Shem Kechti Rav Zudacham. Pshita! I know that already. What's the Chiddush Rav Zudacham? How could there be a din Hashem Kechativa? There's another din in the Torah that is ready presupposing that. So who learned the Gemara like that? Who was a real hardcore misnagid? Taisus thought, Taisus, they looked at the Gemara. They were a hardcore mitzvahster. They looked at the Gemara and said, come on, I can't be. Keep it said, it's Mishamis. What's Taisus Kash? Taisus says that we have a pulse, but they save a tokum. The Torah says you have to get up for a save. A save really means an old person, but the Gemara says in Kedushin, that they save a tokum without today's Zoka. And Zoka means Zeshekon HaChokma. In Tanakh, very often the words of Canaan are used interchangeably with leaders. Moshe gathers the Zikne Israel. What do we mean? He went to the old age home and conducted everybody over the age of 95 years old. Well, Zikne Israel means the leaders. It means the people who are representing it. The Zikane was supposed to be the Tamil Chachamim. So the words of Canaan in Tanakh very often does not mean an older person. It means the people in position of authority, the Tamil Chachamim. So Taizah Sakash, it says, they say to talk about that, you have to be mechabed, you have to stand up for the Tamil Chachamim. Taisus says, I already know from Esther Shomer Kechatira, Rabbi Akiva is right. The Esther Shomer Kechatira means the Rabbis Tabi Chachamim. I have to stand up for Tabi Chacham. So what's the Chiddush to have to stand up for Tabi Chacham? No, the same story. Why did he took Psuchim to teach me the same din? So Taisus says, no, this din, Esther Shomer Kechatira, does not refer to all Tabi Chachamim. It refers to your Rebbe, your personal Rebbe. How do you know that? Because the Lashon and Mishnah Pekiyavah says, Yimei Rabcha Kemeri Shemayim. That din, that's not just a nice, cute quotation. Rabcha, Mer Rabcha, Mishraim, is a din, it's a din minatari. That's an expression, Rabbi Akiva's Grasha, Es Shem Kechatim, Rabbas Tabli Chacham. So that's only for a Rebbe Mubuk Sistosis. That doesn't apply to a Rebbe, the regular Tabli Chacham. That applies to your personalized Rebbe. So if the Torah would have just said Es Shem Kechatim, I wouldn't have known that you have to be Mechabit, a regular Tabli Chacham. Mashvilat, even a regular Tabli Chacham, you have to be Mechabit. So what's called the Rebbe Mubuk? How do you define your personal Rebbe? So that's the Gemara says in the second parak of Masechet Bava Metzia, at the end of the parak, that we pass in Halacha that a Rebbe Mubuk means someone who you learn Rov Chachmasay from, someone who you learn most of your Chachma, most of your Torah from. That's called that Rebbe Mubuk. That's a big question, Bizman Azeh. Is there any Rebbe, was your Rebbe Mubuk? In the olden days, everything was Torah Shabbat Peh. So you had one Rebbe who taught you everything. Today, you had your first grade Rebbe, Toya Alfei, and you had your Chumash Rebbe in second and third grade, and then you had a Mishnah's Rebbe, then you had a Gemara Rebbe, then you had a couple of different Rebbe in high school, and then you had your Rebbe in Yisrael, then you come back to YU, you come to Fox Space, and you go to another year, you're welcome to come back to my year next year, you're welcome to another year, people go around, you have the Rebbe in the summer program, and then they have the Rebbe, who's the Shul Rabbi, and by the time they're 55 years old, they have 100 Rebbe, and nobody taught them Rov Chachmasay. So it's not even clear of his mind that we even have such a concept called Limud Rav Chachmasa. Some place can say, you know how Rav Chachmasa, you know who my Rebbe Mubuk is? The Gemara, Rabbi Rav Ashi, Rabbi Danossi, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Shemura, the Sfarim that I use, those are my Rabbanim and Papam. So what am I supposed to do? Go visit them on Yom Tov? What am I supposed to do about that? So that's not going to have too much relevance here. So what's a Rebbe Mubuk? What's made that Rebbe Mubuk? So the Rav said that his relationship with his father was a relationship of a Talmud Mufak and a Rebbe Mufak one. He said that the Rav was 80 years old already. The Rav said, my father died already 40, 50 years ago. Rove of my Torah I did not learn from my father. He said, Rove of my Torah I learned from myself, from my Sfarim, from my Gemara, from saying Shurim all the years, 50 years. But my father, said the Rav, was the one who guided me, who set me on the path of learning. He's the one who developed in me, inculcated in me the Derech HaLimud. The Rav didn't really go to school. He went to Cheder for a short time, then his parents took him out of Cheder. He didn't want to go to Cheder anymore. He said, I learned with his father. So the Rav learned with Rabbi Shalom Eitrik. He learned for many, many years. All his formative years, he used to learn with his father. His father was a Rav in the town in Europe called Chatzlavish. So the... In addition to being the Rav in town, he had Tamidim. So he sat in his living room and he said Shia around the table to his different Tamidim. So the Rav was the youngest Talmud. He was saying, Rav was saying to older men, the Rav was 10, 11, 12 years old, he was the Talmud. He would listen to the Shiurim of his father, and his father would learn with him privately, and then he would come to the Shiurim of the father. That's how he, that's how the Briskers generally do it. That aim is there. But, they don't, you know, they have a different style of education. You know, the old style, so they were supposed to be Mishnah Levanecha. So they, from father to son, that's how they transmit the Messiah. But so the Rav used to say that his father was his Rebbe Mufak, even though in terms of statistically, in terms of numerically, quantitatively, he learned more Torah from his own Sfarim, from the Rambam, the Shulchanov, the Gemaras, than from his father. But if not for his father, he wouldn't have had a whole Mahalach HaChayim in terms of Limud HaTorah. So he felt that was also called the Rebbe Mufak. So many of us have Rebbeim like that. Many of us have Rebbeim who, in terms of pinpointing numbers of how many Blat Gemara did I learn, it could be I learned more Blat Gemara from this one, but this was my Rebbe. He's the one I always considered to be. He was my Madrich, he was my Riderich, he was my Rebbe. So he's considered to be my Rebbe Mufak. That's one possible idea of a Rebbe Mufak as much as that. Then Taisus throws in another category. Taisus writes that if you have someone who's a Rav Muflug, the Havi Kain Rabbi, someone who's a great Godlum, the one like Gedolei Hador. So Gedolei Hador always have the status like a Rebbe Mufak for the whole generation. Why is that? So it's very similar to what the Rav said. Let's say, for example, I'll give this example. When I was a kid, I grew up in the late 60s and the 70s. So every single person who was a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs in America was Mushba for Ramesh Feinstein. Ramesh Psalkin was the, right, Mr. Bammer? Ramesh was the bottom line, you know, for pretty much for the non-Hasidish world for sure. Ramesh was the bottom line in terms of Psach HaLacha. I never had the exclusive meeting with Ramesh. I never heard a Shia for Ramesh. I never asked a Shiloh person for Ramesh. I never saw Ramesh. But by the time I got older already, Ramesh was already sick already, you know. But Ramesh was the Paisik. It was through him and his Talmidim, etc. Well, let's say the Rav. So I never had this close to hearing to being the Rav Shira. I saw the Rav many, many times. In my first couple of years in YU, the Rav was still on around, still saying Shia, still on campus. So I saw many times, I davened many times. I sat once or twice in the back of a Shia once, but I can't say that he was my Rebbe. Quantitatively, on the other hand, all my Rebbeim were his Talmidim. So he set the tone for the entire yeshiva. He set the tone for most of the communities that we grew up in today. Most of your shul rabbanim, your days, they also weren't tamidim of the Rav. They're tamidim of the Rav. So he said, so Ramesh and the Rav, they were the forgers of the of our world of Torah back in the 60s and 70s, and the beginning of the 80s. So they were, in a certain sense, but the Taz is describing, the Muflagim Shibador for us. So that's also like a Rebbe Mufak. So even though quantitatively, can I say that I heard more Torah from the Rav than from anyone else? I can't say that. Can I say that Ramesha had a more Daf Gemaras from the Ramesha than I never heard it one Shia from Ramesha in my life. But in terms of Hashba, that was a definite Hashba on our entire generation. So those are examples of Rabbanim of Holkam that we have in Zman Hazem. And that's probably borne out by the example of the Isha Shunamis and Elisha. I don't know who the Isha Shunamis learned from when she was younger. The Pesukim say she was older by the time. By the time she met Elisha, she was an older lady already. I don't know where she went to Beis Yaakov. I don't know where she went to seminary. I don't know where she learned in the summers. I don't know who her earlier mentors were. But Elisha was a Chalisha. It's a Talmud from Eliyahu HaNavi. He was the Gadol HaDor. He was the undisputed leader of Torah. And he was living in our house. He would come and visit. Does it mean that he gave shiurim to her family every time, to her and her husband? We don't know what that was in the attic where Elisha was. I don't know how many shaylos she asked him personally. On the other hand, clearly he had a major reishim on her and on all of Klal Yisrael. So she treated him like he was her Rebbe Mufak. So she had to go visit her Rebbe on Yom Tov, Chodesh Lo Shabbos, whatever the case may be. So at one point, we have this beautiful mitzvah of Makom Pnei Rabba Berega. We're not sure what the nature of the mitzvah is all about, and we have a couple of nafkaminas ladina, and then we have the Navidu suggestion, maybe it doesn't even apply, and we don't seem to, many don't, I'm not knowing that way, some are, some not. Then we have the shayla, how much does it apply tachlis? So do we really, really have a Ravan Ruvaka Bisman?
So we don't do that, we don't go to the Dalai, we don't like it.
Yeah, Galador Parah is going to be bothered by everybody's everybody's visiting. So what happened again? Those were able to go to the Rebbeim. So you pick who your Rebbeim are. The Rebbeim were the biggest Roshim on you. So you go visit them. If you can. You can't. You hope they're going to visit. I thought we'd just finish up this little bit of Rechiza, the Rezairah, since we pretty much finished the Limud for this beautiful, wonderful Zman. It's from next week. It's still learning next week. It's just Memorial Day. It's not Memorial Day. And Tuesday, I think there's a special shiur. Did they tell you? I think it's supposed to be some special shiur program or something. And then later in the week, you guys have finals and stuff. So I think I'm not sure what the formal seder hayom is in terms of the end of the week. So there's definitely still learning next week. Just that in terms of our formal shiurim, we're gonna come to an end today. So I just want to end on a note, almost like related to this last sugya that we're learning about being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, visiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lila regel. We read in Pashmuch Geis, V'salachti b'sechem v'yisei lechem l'lekim. One of the greatest brachas that can be b'kuyamos in us is, the bracha says, V'salachti b'sechem, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to spend time with you, like a lila rega, I'm going to be together with you, I'm going to spend some time together. How is that spending time in a Kodesh Bracha going to look? So Rashi quotes a startling statement from the Teres Kainim, V'salachti b'sechem, a walk. An arm walk. A tayli mochem again Eden. What's a tiul? It was very relaxed. You know what tiul looks like? You're wearing your t-shirt, you got your shorts on, okay, maybe not with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the imagery of a tiul is not a very stressful kind of an event. It's laid back. It's a lachti b'seichem, a tayli mochem again Eden. We'll take a spazier, as they say in Yiddish. You have to chill, you have to lunch, a Shabbos spazier. So the Teres Kodesh says, really? We're going to be walking with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like just like that? Yochol lo tiru mimeni. I might think that you won't be afraid of me. Tavad leba yisa lachem lelakim. No. The next pasuk says, we're walking together, but I'm Hashem and you're not. So what does that mean? So is the imagery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klai Yisrael's relationship an imagery of tiul? Or is it imagery like shaking like that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a little nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's up there. What's going on? So Chazal, the famous Maimba, we spoke about this in the halachic context, Brachas of Chof and Beis, Shom Bezach with the Brechid Emru. Kavos HaTorah is represented by the two Dibras of Shom VeZochor. So the Ramban has a famous comment in Chumash in Parashas Yisro that Shomor doesn't only refer to Shabbos, I mean, primarily refers to Shabbos, but Shabbos is almost like an example of Shmira. Shmira refers to things that you don't do. Well, the Shmor means I stay away, I don't do Averis, I don't do Malach, I don't do Treif, I don't do Eshan, I don't do things that are wrong. That's Shomor. Zohar, Kiddush, is a prototype for things that I do. So the Ramban explains that the mitzvahs losas and the mitzvahs asay really fundamentally emanate from two different sides of the relationship in the Kiddush Baruch Hu. There is two simultaneous mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Says the Ramban, when you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. So the same way you have a relationship with someone who busts up, you want to spend time with the person. When you love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you want to do things with him. So I want to sit in the sukkah. I want to eat the mas. I want to daven. I want to put on the tefillah. I want to wear the tzitzit. I want to do things actively to be spent time with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shmira refers to things that you don't do. When you're afraid of somebody, you want to stay away. The last thing you want to do is tick the other person off. You don't want to do something that gets the other person annoyed. So lahav lof of dollars. I don't want to do those things that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do. So Shomer means don't do malacha. It's all the don'ts, all the no's in Judaism is Shomer. Don't eat treif, don't speak lashon hara, don't wear shatnez, all the not things to do. Says the Ramban, Avos Hashem is the engine that's driving Nitzos Esei, and Yir Shemayim is the catalyst for all the Los Esei, for observance of Los Esei. I can imagine that I can depict for you two different kinds of Avedis Hashem. Some people are really, really good at Shomor. You know those guys, they won't violate anything. Every Sefkoton, every Chumra, every Minig, every Dada. They won't touch any Sufik Muktzot. Every Dada, every Chumra under the sun they got. and their approach of Hashem is miserable. They're just terrified. They're too busy being terrified of everything. They can't enjoy Abbas Hashem. They can't enjoy the mitzvahs of Torah. They don't have a geshmach with a limud, with a davening, with a mitzvah, a Shabbos there. But on the other hand, they never violated a Torah in their life. They're great Shoma people, not such great Zohar people. And you have other guys. They're great at Zohar. You know these guys. Come on, you know. Every tish they're at. Every kumzitz there, they went straight away. They got the guitars going. They dance into the night. All the bits is essay. Great. Dveikus Vashem, that's the name of the game. Little Shabbos, not so much, but on this, every Sifkotet about Boirer, that doesn't speak that. That's not exciting. That's not inspiring. So, keep up his kashas, kedas, come on. We're having a tish, Rabbi, come on, we're having a good time, get the guitars out, come on, but the food's got to be mahadran, I mean, come on, you know, it's okay, you know, we can cut corners here and there, it's all in good spirits. So what is our religion exactly all about? What is our religion about? Someone who's makbet kedas, kedin, every single prat, b'chodi tekev, chamnaseh, etc. Or is our religion something about, you know, glorified trip to Uman or something? Is that's what we're all about? So who are we? What are we? So the answer is, you know, we are. Hashem v'zochem nibrachim. Baruch Hu tells us we're going to accomplish something which is almost impossible to accomplish. Almost not impossible. Almost impossible. We're going to merge. We're going to fuse together. Avos Hashem and Yerushalayim. We're going to be medaktik in mitzvahs b'chol pratev b'tukel. On the other hand, we're going to love what we're doing. We're going to be in love with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're going to have Azad Devekus. We're going to have the greatest songs. We're going to have the greatest dance. We're going to have the greatest close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. At the same time, we're going to be the greatest Shomer Torah mitzvahs. I said Shomer. It's going to be Zocher v'Shomer v'Vasachas. That's quite a feat. That's quite an accomplishment. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, for that of it is Hashem, listen to what the Schar is. I will walk with you arm in arm. We're going to sing and dance. We're going to have a fabringen. We're going to have a tish together. At the same time, this will be balanced. Yerushalayim. It's going to be that perfect merge. The relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be a perfect, perfect relationship of Ava and Yura fused together. And that's exactly what the Kodesh Baruch wants to bestow upon us. When I speak about Yira, I'm not talking about the Yira Sa'ina. I'm not talking about people who are, you know, neurotic about it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Yira Sa'remus, that awe, that majesty, the grandeur, the glory of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence. At the same time, I am in love with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Av and Yira merged together. V'esai, Baruch Hashem, we had the opportunity over the last, it's hard to believe. 5 weeks already. I have a Catholic fever, so we're keeping track. But it's hard to believe. We just started. But look what we accomplished. On the one hand, we learned the sugyas, you know, fairly hard sugyas, you know, details of how to perform every mitzvah Torah properly, and then the sukkah, and the isik bar mitzvah, and some tefillin sugyas, and kavanah sugyas, and achrei rabu sugyas, and sikkel shoter sugyas. Mamish, with a tremendous Yira Shemayim, we learned Mitach Kavid Reish, Mitach Yira Shemayim. On the other hand, I hope there's a lot of Abba here. I mean, I was definitely having a good time. We tell a lot, you know, we're very laid back, we're having a good time, telling some good stories about learning. You know, come on, we're learning. The stories are cute, but the real emphasis, Siddur is, well, Chakira, what's the nature of Akbari Rabba? What's the nature of Isaac Vermitza? What's the nature of this? And the Kasha Rashi, the Taisa, the Ram, and the Rabbi, well, all the godless Torah, the Simchas Torah, there's nothing like Simchas Torah, nothing like the Salachti B'Sechem, a Kodesh Baruch wants to stroll with us arm in arm, saying different Torah, hearing our Shtimel Torahs. Wow, what a Simchas Achayim, what a Gevaldika life we have. And the beauty of Simchas Torah is, it's not all dishes, it's also hard work, it's Shmira. That's okay. Means that when it's mitoch amel, mitoch yigiyah, It's a tremendous, tremendous simchas achayim, tremendous simchas achayim. So we brach to continue to give you guys yet tishmaya, to continue to go michayel uchoyel, in your limon atorah, in your shmiras and mitzvahs, in your alesim, in your shmayim, which will be zoi chazai to kabal satorah, of shom v'zochor, in the truest sense, to be brach. Okay? Good Shabbos, and hope we'll be around next week. Next Shabbos, we'll see everyone a little bit before you.